Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
What now? Do you want to just sigh at the Sabres all day? Or rant at the Sabres all day? Do you really want to? Does anybody really want to listen to that? What do you do? Like, what?
It's a very good question.
What do you do when you're the Pirates, or the way the Chicago Blackhawks were before the boss died, Bill Wirtz, when he died, then his son took over and they came to life a little bit. What do you even do? It's unsatisfying to ignore it. That's kind of like what my instinct is to do, almost out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really feel right to do. I do always want to thank any – this was like when the Bills hired Buddy Nix or Dick Geron or the Sabres and Phil Housley. Phil Housley, I think, was the worst of their hires. And, you know, that's a pretty – maybe that's an interesting debate. But you just sort of like – on the air, at least, I want to – and I don't mean this like disingenuously. I want to say that I don't know that it won't work.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's the best I can usually do with them is that – you know, maybe it'll work, but I don't know. Like, I can't really think of worse ideas.
Yeah, no. Well, what stings you at a time like now is you mentioned Housley, and I'm not prepared to debate the statement that he was the worst hire, but thinking back, how much you love the team and how much it means to you, how much you know it means to the community, our audience, and wanting so badly for things to work. Like, I love the Housley idea. I thought Ralph Kruger was going to be a breath of fresh air.
I like that.
How exciting. He's from outside. He's pre-tread? Forget about Edmonton. This is new.
This is a guy who ran a soccer team.
This is positionless hockey or something. We're going to get like this is going to be incredible.
This is somebody who hid in Buffalo bars.
He's walking around like I do around Allentown, meeting people and talking about the Sabres. Wow.
This guy cares.
Yeah. Oh, he plugged right in.
Probably did.
He's just tremendous, incredible con job that was. And I feel so burned by it. So, yes, sure, Eric Staal. I mean, you could have chosen Brett Hull, I suppose, but, you know, no, fine.
I know.
You got a relationship with this guy. He'll take your call.
Brad Park wasn't available.
He wants to get in. He wants to get into the business. Okay. He's been around a lot of hockey. There's no denying that. He has won, so he knows what that looks like and smells like and tastes like and all that
so
stuff.
So does Adams.
Yeah, and how's that going? So, I don't know. It's a moment in time here where I want to consider. I combined wanna and to there. It was sloppy. I'd like to consider whether or not they're done adding things.
Ugh.
Like, does this
so done?
Is this the person to come help Adams? I mean, that's sort of what the job description
yes.
is, but it's not.
Of course, it is
someone who's accomplished anything in the league. Like, this is not like. I don't know. This is the move?
I think this was Terry Pegula's sort of compromise, like, doesn't want to make changes again, which, you know, you do when you're losing all the time, but, you know, he's sort of maybe tired of that. And we're always talking about credibility. We went long on that late yesterday, like, just what kind of credibility is called for. I never wanted to advocate for the Don Waddells of the world, Rutherford, Lamorello even, with all his winning. Like mm-hmm. I never felt like that needed to be done, but I think they have sunk so low that maybe that is what you have to do, that credibility is so lacking. I don't know. I mean, this wouldn't be true of everybody. Not everybody, not every potential free agent or coaching candidate would think this,
mm-hmm.
but I do think Buffalo would be like a non-starter for a lot of people. Coaches. I mean, I think Ruff is here because he had been here. And that was like fifth all-time in wins. But I don't think you hire him unless you have the tug at the heartstrings
piece. Right. If he had a career as a player and then a long time as coach of the Chicago Blackhawks or the Detroit Red Wings, and that was his, you know, his plaque. He, you know, not that he's in the Hall of Fame, but you get the point. Like, if that's what's on his hockey card, yeah, no. At that stage of his career, he's not coming here to coach the Buffalo Sabres. He's a highly decorated, one of the winningest coaches in the history of the sport. I think you almost have to have some soft spot for the region and the organization to have that career and want to come do this job.
Well, that could go either way, though. I think of it more as, would the Sabres be interested, you know, in somebody like that?
Oh, okay.
That somebody that isn't, I mean, what was Housley? Somebody that isn't sort of, I think, you know, Pegula just gets that totally wrong. And, you know, it's not, if you go back to his first day, it's sort of, the first day he came across as sentimental toward the history of the franchise, and so, like, I guess that's to be expected.
Well, yeah. So, we did talk about this with Paul late yesterday, and we'll talk to Paul around the same time again today, go over this news and whatever happened in the playoffs last night. I've never liked the idea of advocating for Ken Holland or, like, you know, any of the names you just mentioned, right? Mark Bergevin. Like, anybody who's been in the league that might be looking for a new gig, Lou Lamoriello, even though he's 82 or whatever. I've never wanted to, because it's retread city, and, you know, I just said a minute ago, I thought, Ralph Krueger, that's a breath of fresh air. What an exciting change. But that said, the Sabres have pushed me to a point where I would advocate for that because it's something they have not tried. And I got to try, you know, changing out the guys in the same positions isn't working. It hasn't worked for 14 years. So try something you have barely dabbled with and bring someone in that maybe gives you that credibility, also has some voice and intelligence about the game, and has managed hockey teams for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, like some of these guys like Holland and Lou Lamoriello. I'm not against another set of eyes and another set of opinions coming in the door, but having it be someone with zero, and I mean, you cannot emphasize enough, the zero experience here in Eric Staal is just not what's called for at this moment. Now, that again, that doesn't have to doom this. Maybe he'll be the magic touch Svengali and this will all turn out. I don't know, but it's just a weird pivot to offer the job to someone who's going to have to learn how to do it.
That's what they always do.
And if he was interested in this, because some pretty notable former players have taken this route recently. Jason Spezza started, he finished up playing with Toronto and just sort of stayed there and hung out at Dubas' side and I think followed him to Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. But there was, I'm going to get to know how to do this. There was a roll-up before I think he even had an actual title. He was just like, let's just see how this goes and see if you want to pursue something on your end. Like, maybe a position will evolve out of your being here kind of thing. That's one thing. To just install someone with zero experience into the job of special assistant to the GM, this is not what I think anybody was expecting to happen here. Well, I shouldn't say expecting to happen here. You might have been bracing for something, you know, I don't know, equally unmoving.
I don't think whatever happens is going to mean I'm going to want to blame Eric Staal. Like, I don't even know what he'll do. Maybe they want him around players. I mean, he's had a great career. Maybe they'll want, he played here too. Maybe they'll want him around players. Like, I don't think it has to be a net negative. But what it doesn't do, in my opinion, is give them any semblance of the credibility piece that we talk about that I think they lack. I just don't really think this does that. And I think it's probably meant to do that. I think there's probably an element of, like I said about Pegula, like a compromise piece where, like, he doesn't want to put anybody on top of the organization. The only person, it's either been Kim or Russ Brandon, right? That's ever, or LaFontaine, I guess. Like, there's never been any sort of person above the GM. And, you know, we talked with Paul yesterday and Paul doesn't think they need that. And I respect that. Again, I kind of don't want to buy into that so much either, but it's just that, you know, we just spent a year. What was the biggest topic of the season? It was, you know, the palm trees stuff where the GM told the world that he can't get players here like other teams can. And, like, what an admission. So how do you change that? I mean, you can't move the franchise to Barcelona or something. Like, we're not for that. We're not moving the team. But still, like, somehow you've got to figure out a way. I think they thought they had done it right after Terry bought them. You know, the hockey heaven stuff. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be organic. We want hockey to be in the air. But it's just so stale. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now. I mean, a lot has happened.
I can't name assistant GMs or special assistant. Is this Dwight Schrute? Like, is this assistant to the GM? Or,
right.
Like, I can't name these people in other organizations. I don't know what they do. You know, maybe Staal's name is the thing, and he'll come in and just offer an opinion. I don't want to feel like I need, at least, current players or recent players to make personnel decisions. I think that tends to fail in the NHL. I felt more strongly about this 5 to 10 years ago when I just wanted numbers, you know, and I bought the idea that the Sabres were into the numbers recently, but they still haven't just done the right, they haven't made the right moves. You end up with Connor Clifton, you know, instead. And, like,
that was exactly just, the guy I thought of.
It just doesn't make sense.
Thinking about this earlier.
It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You don't get to work here if you've ever had the job before, other than, like, if you're Ruff, who's kind of in a special category, kind of in the legends bracket, you know? And it's just so depressing. It really, the Sabres really are to me like one of these small number of franchises in sports that just, you know, you just don't expect them to get it right. And that just makes me want to ignore it. That just, I don't feel like, I can't say they're, it's complicated for me because it's a job and a passion, you know, it's a, it's a hobby or a pursuit, and then it's also professional. And I don't know, like I'm always just stopping myself because who wants to listen to any of this? Who wants to stare at it? Who wants to look at it? It's just too disappointing. It's too upsetting. It's the Pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, no franchise hates its fans more than the Pirates. And they get, and the Sabres, they're this too. They get lucky with these prodigy prospects and great players.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
And either like they're just not going to keep them, or the players want to leave, you know, and it just goes nowhere. And it just makes it worse. So all of this is with the acknowledgement, the hopeful acknowledgement that, you know, maybe next year will be the year where it comes together. But they make it very hard to buy into it.
Yeah. I feel like there's never been more people in two very distinct camps. And I have no idea the size of these camps, although I would guess that the first one I'm about to mention is smaller. And that's the, like, you don't know, it won't work. They did something. Maybe Eric Staal will help them. Well, and honestly, I'll say this. I don't put on my, like, fake mean guy voice. Maybe Eric Staal will address what you're talking about, credibility-wise. No, it's not an accomplished team builder. But if he's telling you, hey, you know, this is a good scene here, good room, good community, all that stuff, maybe that is in some way has the potential to offset the palm trees and the taxes reputation that, you know, Kevin Adams only further enhanced by talking the way he talked during the season. So you've got like that camp of fans, and then I think the much larger group is just tell me when something changes, which is a very tough place, like you're talking about, professionally, to sense that the fan base is. And again, I don't know this. I mean, I'm not polling everybody that's listening to us. It's impossible. And the people who call or don't call, whatever, inaction or action is not always a clear indicator at all, really. It's just, you know, a few people that call. So I just feel like there's more. I don't know that we can win talking about this, is I think the people you'd want to reach are borderline unreachable right now, because they're just kind of like, the Sabres are over there for me, and I don't want to let them hurt me anymore. So I'm just going to, yes, when the games come back, I'll be watching. I'll look in. I want to know what's happening. But as far as trying to get my hopes up about the ninth pick, and can they trade it for an established partner for Owen Power? It's been 3 years already with that conversation. And can this front office shakeup yield results? And oh my gosh. I think a lot of that is like a check please moment for a lot of fans. And so I don't know if I'm going to talk honestly about what I think of all this, I think the only people that are going to really pay attention to it are going to get mad because they are, you know, their face painted blue and gold permanently or something. And good for you. If you're out there and you love the team so much that you are just endlessly optimistic, they have sapped every ounce out of a person in myself who has more motivation than the average person walking around right now to find things to get excited about them and interested in and talk about. And I mean, my tank is, it's been telling me 0 miles left for 2 years.
You're not a 0 miles guy. you fill your tank with like 100 miles.
Dude. The last time, I can't segue into this. I had a harrowing rental car experience 2 trips ago. Listen to me. What a life I'm living here, right?
Harrowing.
All these rental cars. Yeah, it was harrowing. Yeah, I can't. Details right now would be inappropriate, but it's,
really?
It's, at some point, it's a good story.
But you don't like to bring it down to the quick, your gas tank.
No.
I only ever do.
No.
I'm not getting. I have maybe never gotten gas before the light goes on.
Wow.
Why would I get gas before the light goes on? Why would you do that?
It's because you have time, and you can avoid having to do it when you don't have time, and you're never going to be caught in a situation where, say, people drive your car for a while, and you're not aware of it, and you thought there was enough gas to get to the airport and back, and then you find out that there's not, and it's midnight, and you're in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And so you get your family members to the airport, but your wife and yourself then have to drive back to the house because you're staying another day, and you're looking for gas stations, and the internet is in and out, the cell signal is sketchy, and the first directions that tell you to go to a gas station ends up at a dead end in like an industrial waste zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you start following directions to another, and the miles are ticking down from 21 to 15,
uh-oh,
and you're wandering 15. Around Puerto Rico looking for a gas station. You find one, but you have to sign up for an app to get the gas at the pump. You try to go into the store, and the door's locked. There's people in there. Looks like there's an argument, maybe even a robbery. I don't know. You get back in the car. You still can't find a gas station. I found out what my hell on earth is. And look, I lead a pretty easy, you know, conflict-free life. You want to give me all the anxiety at once? Put me in that situation.
I can't wait. Wait till you get around to the details.
My wife at one point had to tell. She said, "You need to pull over right now and calm down."
Hmm.
And I listened. And we.
But you turned the car off, so no more gas would.
We did. And then escaping. There was another wrong turn, and another. But then there was a gas station, and we got gas. But it was. That is my version of hell. That is not a more stressful situation because I feel responsible. Even though I'm not the one who ran the tank out, I should have noticed sooner. I should have got gas. I'm the man. I just that absolutely ruins me. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Why did I bring this up? You mentioned gas tanks.
All right. Yes, my gas tank right now is empty. Yes, you're running it down to zero.
You're in Puerto Rico, and all the stores are closed.
You're a daredevil.
And you're on the shoulder.
Right.
And you've got no move.
Hell, and it's midnight.
And it's midnight.
I don't know what, you know, where anything is. Terrible. That's kind of really the feeling
Bring
I
it
had
back. Bring it
at
back.
That moment in the car when my wife told me you got to pull over is, in my worst moments, that's how exasperated I feel about the Sabres. There, I can connect it. The amount of anxiety I have about how I feel like they are just so stuck makes me insane.
What is the owner's thinking? What really is it? I don't want to spend. Only want to spend so much. It's relationships, right? It's people. It's which, you know, I can respect on a certain level, you know, but it's still a professional sports team, right? Just sort of, I'm comfortable with these people and I trust them. And, you know, I really don't have any personal accountability here. I'm not really in the public spotlight at all. I don't know. How much criticism does he think he gets? Because the Bills make that tougher.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't understand why. It's just super tone deaf. You know?
Yeah.
All of it. Hiring Adams, respectfully, hiring Adams in the first place was this. Just, your team is in closing in on a record-long playoff drought, and you're going to hire somebody that, like, has just completely never been in that kind of job before because, what, he's around? I mean, it's just super tone-deaf. And for years now, it's been kind of this where, whether it was before Lindy especially, but just, it's just, how do you take him seriously? And they've had good or even great players in this whole time, you know, since 10 years ago. And we've been over that enough times. I don't know. It seems so easy for all the other teams,
right,
in these guys that have just like, okay, I get it. You've won before. Sure. I don't think you really know more than I do, but I can appreciate your value in the, you know, job environment. And I guess I can't complain. But the Sabres don't even do that. Like, they just can't be bothered to to lift up to that kind of level. And it's just so unusual in sports. Like, you know, even other Sabres teams from the past would do that.
They I think
that's true. I don't know.
I really wonder. I don't know how long or how interesting it is to sit with that question. What is he hoping to accomplish? Like, what today's, you know, you run a pro sports team and you know where you are on your timeline. You're as maybe as bad off as you could possibly be considering the circumstances. And it's an off season and it's time to do something. And you're gonna make an announcement.
You're gonna wait a month. And then make an announcement.
Like, what? Yeah. What are you hoping for? Are you just hoping to not get killed over it?
Yeah.
Like, is that the primary? Let's announce something that won't just get us shredded.
What even is that, though?
I don't know.
What is shredded? What is the value of that? What necessarily? What reason? I'm not saying you're wrong. What reason would he have to want to avoid that? I mean, what hasn't been said already?
Right.
This time?
I just don't know, like, what you think you're going to accomplish by doing this. I guess I just have to hope that someone over there really believes, because I don't know how they could possibly know it, that this is going to help. And the rest is just noise. We got another guy. He's experienced. He's got eyes. He knows players. He knows how the league works. That'll be an asset for us. And that's the end of it.
It's Appert, too. Like, who is Seth Appert? Why is he important? I had a terrible power play. I bring in Lindy Ruff with the same staff, and I have a terrible power play, and it gets me killed again. Like, what? How hard would it be as an owner to just sort of do something about that? Like, how can you just settle for that? Yeah. Well, hi.
That's right. That's the other piece of news today, right, is that reportedly he's being
promoted. Had to do that, I guess.
Absolutely, I mean, promotions are deserved.
The team got worse and continues to just be nowhere, and like, yeah, let's just bring him up. Okay. Sal Capaccio at 4. We'll do some football here, because if we don't, it'll just kill us. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.